Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Mem Tes. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur at the beginning of the new perek at the top line of Daf Mem Tes, the sixth perek of Nedarim. On the side, you'll notice we have a mivneh, a structural note, where the double underline is used, hadgoshas lishonos shel nedarim. We're highlighting the different texts or the versions of the vows. Hanodim min hamavushal muter betzli ubeshaluk. One who vowed not to benefit from mevushal. Now, mevushal means cooked, someone who vows not to eat from cooked things. And I should caution that when we're learning Maseches Nedarim, as we've seen numerous times in the past, strict translation doesn't do the trick. One has to get into the meaning and the implication of different expressions, and that will figure quite prominently as we go through this sugya as well. So in the meantime, we're learning that one who says he's not going to benefit from mevushal, he is allowed to benefit from tzli and shaluk. Tzli might be explained as something that's roasted, and shaluk, you find a machlokes in the Meforshim as to how to define that. Rashi takes the approach, mevushal yoser midai, it's overcooked. So that mevushal would mean something properly cooked, and shaluk something overcooked. The Tosfos, when it comes to shaluk, says shaluk she'ein mevushal yoser, it's undercooked. So whichever approach you take, you should realize that mevushal means properly cooked, and shaluk is cooked but not properly. And when we speak about a contrast between cooking or tzli, and mevushal tzli is a form of food preparation without a water environment. It's roasted over a fire. Whereas mevushal is something prepared in a water environment. We continue in the Gemara, in the Mishnah. Omar koinum tavshil she'eni toim. Person vows that he will not taste from a tavshil. Osir b'maisa kedera rach umutir b'ove. He is allowed to partake of maisa kedera rach. Let me correct myself. He's also, he's forbidden to partake in maisig de rach. Rach means loose or liquidy. It would be some type of dish that has, let's say, a lot of gravy to it. But he's allowed to partake of something that's oveh, that's thick. That's the opposite of watery. So that tafshil has a connotation. Something that's liquidy is forbidden, something that's dry or thick is allowed. Umuter bebeitza turmuta ubdlas horamutza. One who vowed not to benefit from tafshil is allowed to benefit from these things, the egg, that's the turmuta egg, and the remutza dalas. The Gemara will address this in its explanation later on. The example that Rashi gives of something that's oveh is something that he calls daisa. Daisa is probably something like porridge. Hanoder mimaisa kedera, ein osur elo mimaisa raschosa. One who vowed not to benefit from maisa kedera, he is vowing not to take it, not to benefit from something that is, Rashi says, dovo haroseh, something that's boiling, something that's hot, like rotiv, like gravy, things that are like that. Omar kinim hayurid likadera she'eni toim. If a person uses that expression, also b'chol ha misbashlin b'kadera. That language of prohibition, self-prohibition from that which descends into a pot, then he is ossering himself from anything that's cooked in a kedera, cooked in a pot. You'll see in the Rashi, with this expression called koinim hayori likdera, he's prohibiting himself whether it's a loose or thick type of dish. That's, of course, in contrast with the expression koinim tavshil sheini tayim. The Gemara, Tanya, regarding someone who is noder min hamavushal, like the opening of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yoshia Oser. And we have an arrow here. You can align it with the arrow above, and we see a machlokes tanoim. Does mevushal include tzli in its connotation? According to the Mishnah, mevushal is distinguished from tzli. Mevushal, cooked, tzli, roasted. According to Rabbi Yoshia, the term mevushal will include tzli. Even though there's no explicit proof to that, there nevertheless is an allusion to it, a hint to it. Shenemar, it says, regarding the Korban Pesach, which we know from the Torah needs to be roasted. The Korban Pesach, the Paschal Lamb, the Korban Pesach sacrifice, is not to be cooked. And look what the Pesach says in Divrei Yomim. Vayavashlu ha-pesach bo'esh kamishpot. And therefore the word vayavashlu cannot possibly mean cooked in water. And therefore, what does vayavashlu mean? Roasted. So that if a person is noder min ha-mivushal, like the word vayavashlu, he is prohibiting himself from roasted as well. The diamond marking is used here and explained on the sign under the Nosei Mivne heading. These are shlavim, these are stages, lahazbir, machlokes hatanoim b'inyan tzli, legabi mishenodar min hamavushal. The attempt to understand this machlokes tanoim t'nei controversy that we just presented. So, stage one, lema b'holkum, can we say that it's in the following that they argue, the Rabbi Yoshia Sover Haloch Achar Loshon Torah, that in order to establish what is included in the vow, you define things by what you see in the scriptures. But Tana Dilon Sover Benedorim Haloch Achar Loshon Beneodom. And our Tana, the first line of the Mishnah, holds that in Nedorim you follow the way people use terms in common speech. And in common speech, Mevushal would exclude, is not inclusive of that which is roasted. The Gemara says, lo, that is not the analysis. Dekuli alma benedorim haloch achar loshon b'nei odom. Everyone is in agreement with the well-known principle that when you're trying to establish what is prohibited in a vow, you follow the common use of the term. Okay, so the common use of the term mevushal, what is it? Mar ki asrei u mar ki asrei. There really is no machlokes. It's just that our Tana and Rabbi Yoshia were reflecting the common use in their respective locales. Ba'asra de Tana Dilon, in the place of our Tana, litzli koru le tzli u lemevushal koru le mevushal. Each term is called by its own name. Roasted is called tzli. Cooked is called mevushal. So if you're noder min hamevushal, according to our Tana, our Mishnah, you are not prohibiting yourself from tzli. Be'asra de Rav Yoshia, afilu tzli, koru mevushal. In Rav Yoshia's town, even tzli is referred to, even roasted is referred to using the word mevushal. So as far as this stage of the Gemara is concerned, everyone bases the definition referred to in a neder, defining the neder by common speech. The Gemara asks, "V'hokra nosiv law." You notice we have a little arrow to the left-hand side of the Gemara text. It will line it with above, and you see that Rav Yoshia said that the term Mevushal is based on the Pasuk. So he, how can you say that he would not hold Halach Achar Loshon Torah? The Gemara says he doesn't base himself on Loshon Torah. Asmachto bi'alma. The Pasuk was simply brought as a support, but not as a proof. So that as far as defining words in the Dorim, Rabbi Yoshia agrees with the Tanakhama that you go according to common speech. The Pasuk was simply a support to the idea that Mevushal can refer to Tzli as well. Koinum Tavshil v'chule, and we saw in the Mishnah if a person restricted himself from Tavshil, he's usher in the gravy type, loose type dish, and Mutar B'Ova. The Gemara asks, why is he Mutar B'Ova? V'ham mi Tavshil nodar. He vowed not to benefit, not to enjoy, partake of Tavshil. Tavshil would it seem to include Ova as well. So why does the Mishnah make this distinction? Omar Abaye, Hai Tano, Komidi de Misachil Be Rifta Tavshil Koru Le. The Tano defines the word Tavshil as that which you would eat together with bread. So that if you have something like a soup or a dish that has a lot of gravy in it, people will tend to eat bread along with it. However, things that are thick dishes, like a bowl of porridge, people will not eat porridge with bread. That's as far as our Tana is concerned. So Ova is not classified as Tavshil. Tavshil, once again, that kind of food, that kind of prepared food that you would eat along with bread. V'hotanya, and here we have a Tanaic source that supports this idea that Tavshil is that which you eat along with bread. Hanoder mina Tavshil, osur b'chol minei Tavshil, person who swore not to partake of Tavshil, he's forbidden all kinds of Tavshil. V'osur b'tzliu b'sholok u'mevushal, he is prohibited from roasted foods, from sholok foods, and from cooked foods. The osur behitrios rakis shehachilin oichlin bohen piton. And here we must use our markings. Notice we've dashed underlined a couple words. One of the words was tashil, the beginning of the source. And we also highlighted the expression uichlin bohen piton. There are other words too, which are noted for specific reasons as the Gemara goes on. But you see a relationship between tafshil and that which that which one eats along with bread, uichlin bohen piton. The last line of the source for osri cannot partake of hitrios, is a type of vegetation also known as diluin, that are hitrios rakos, soft diluin, that the sick eat together with bread. So again, the purpose of bringing this source in, to citing this source, is to show that Tavshil is that which you would eat together with bread. And now the Gemara has some questions on the source itself. Eini, is that so? Namely, that diluin, which was referred to in the source by the word hitrios, that diluin, that type of vegetation, is good for the ailing. We present a story involving Rabbi Yirmiyahu taking ill. Ol legabe ahu asiyah la'asiyua. An asiyah is a doctor. A doctor went to heal him. Chaza kora mi demochas bebeisei. The doctor saw a kora. And if you notice, for one type of vegetation, there are a number of different words. That's why our write-ins between the lines should be very helpful. Kora is a dalas. Just like we saw before, the word hitrios was diluin. So this doctor saw a dalas vegetation, the mochas that's lying, bebeise, that's lying in this sick man in Rav Yirmiyah's house, shavke v'nofik, he abandoned him and walked out. Omar and the doctor said, malach moise isleib ledein bebeise, this guy, meaning this is Rav Yirmiyah, he has in his house the angel of death, and I'm supposed to go in there to heal him? Now, what did we do with our markings? We dashed underlined the word Korah, which was Delas, and Malach HaMoves, the angel of death, so that you see that Delas is something that's quite detrimental to the ailing individual. Now, a house marking appears, and on the side under the Nosei Mivne heading, the Nosei is the topic heading with the Mivne structural note, the house shape are Deos Lahasbir Im Diluin Toivim L'Odom Choyla Oiloi. We're confront this issue head on. Are Diluin good for a sick man or not? The Gemara, first approach, third wide line of the Gemara, Lo Kashya, Ha Birchichi, Ha Ba'ashuni. It depends on the hardness, physical quality of the diluin. If it's rikiki, it's soft. If it's soft, it's good. If it's hard, then it's bashuni means they're hard. Then it's bad. Rova bar ula omar ha bekora gufe ha begave dekora. This vegetation has an internal part to it and has a skin or a shell to it. So that in the korogufe, the fruit, the vegetation itself, that's not good. I made a slight error. In other words, I want to make a distinction between the vegetation itself and that which is inside of it. It has many, you find different vegetations that have, let's say, a seed complex within the center of it. So that's begave, that which is inside of it. That is good. Ha begave de kora, that which is inside the kora is good. The Yom Rav Yudah, luliva de kora, besilka, luliva de kisna, bekuscha. Here we look in the Ran commentary. Luliva de kora, that expression means mashe besocha, that which is inside of it. That's to be eaten, basilka, yivashlenu im tradin, the Ran says. Cook it with tradin, another kind of vegetation. And the luliva, the kisna, the internal part of the flax plant, is bekuscha. The Ran says, mashe besocha tov lochlo im kusach. That which is inside of the kisna is good to eat together with kusach. Kusach is the name of a type of dish, it's a dairy dish, that is described elsewhere in the Shas. So the for our purposes, the term luliva is that which is inside the respective vegetation. So that which is inside the korah, as we saw in the Ran, is good to be cooked with silka. With that silka, again, another type of vegetation. The Gemara continues, V'dovar zeh osu la'omro b'fnei am haretz. And this, that we, Rav Yehuda just taught us about these beneficial dishes, one is not allowed to teach it, to inform the Am Haaretz. Am Haaretz is the ignorant ones. The Ran says, Dovah zeh osu la'omro b'fnei Am Haaretz, kedei shelo ya'akru apishton l'kach, so that they don't uproot all the flax for medicinal purposes, or for this purpose. There's a Rashi that says something that might sound shocking, but he says, V'dover zeh osu la'omro b'fnei am haaretz, mishum d'dover me'ulehu l'refua. This is very helpful, very therapeutic. The osu la'omro lem shum dover shi'anu mimenu. And we are not allowed to tell the Amoratzim things that they can benefit from. The other pshat that Rashi gives is similar to that which is in the Ran, and that is the fear that they will get rid of all of them, making them not available to the public anymore. The Gemara continues, Rova Omar Man Choylin Rabbonon. We saw in the source, we have a little star to the left-hand side of the Gemara, you can align with the star above. Reference was made to Choylin that were eating the Diluin, the Choylin, the sick people referred to in that source, weren't people that were pathologically or physiologically ailing. Rather, it's a reference to the Rabbonon, the rabbis. The rabbis are considered Choylin in the sense that as a result of their extenuating themselves to learn Torah. Their Torah exertion results in their being physically weakened. But actual sick they are not. So the Rabbanan are considered weakened from what they would have been had they not been learning Torah. The Rashi says something curious. He says, Cholin is Rabbanan, she'oskim b'Torah ve'enom nenim min olam, uboin lidei choli. They abstain from all kinds of worldly benefits, and as a result, they have a tendency to become ill. So we saw different approaches to why the Rabbanan are described as Cholin. That having been said, a person who is medically ailing, suffering some type of pathological disorder, so he should not eat diluin. But the Rabbanan, who are basically healthy, but they're in a weakened state, diluin is fine. Rava litame, Rava, here, that described the Rabbanan as cholim, is consistent with what Rava has said elsewhere. The Omar Rava, we continue at the top of Omid Beis, Keman Matzlinon Aktsiri Va'amri. Based on whose opinion, which Tana would say that we should pray every day of the year for the Tziri and Ri'i. These two expressions are references to those that are sick. The prayer for Tziri, the Rashi says, Roife Chile Amo Yisrael, a bracha that you're familiar with in the from the Shmona Esrei. And Ri'i, also a bracha in the Shmona Esrei, Al Pletas Sofrehem, those that remain from amongst the scholars. But what we see here is that Tziri and Ri'i are both terms referring to those that are ill, and the bracha Pletas Sofrehem, a bracha for the Talmidei Chachamim, who are referred to as Ri'i, Ri'i meaning sick. And this is all under Rava's name, who refers to the Rabbanan as Cholim. And in answer to Rava's question, based on whom would we daven for them every day? Keman k'Rabbi Yossi. This is in accordance with Rabbi Yossi's opinion in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, where numerous opinions appear regarding the time of man's judgment. According to the Chachomim in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, it's pointless to pray every day because judgment was passed on Rosh Hashanah with the Gemar Din, with the final ruling following shortly thereafter on Yom Kippur. That's it. What's signed is sealed and delivered. So there's no purpose in praying. However, according to Rabbi Yossi, that a person is judged every day. So there's value of a person's fate is let's say is up in the air every day. Every succeeding day is a new day of judgment, so that there is room for prayer to help help settle the judgment in a positive sense. So as the Gemara concludes, Mida Omar Tziri Umri'i, from the fact that Rava made reference to these two categories, Shma Mino, Tziri Mamish. Tziri is a reference to people that are actually sick, and Ri'i is a reference to the Rabbanan. And in order to appreciate this a little bit more, we look at the Ran commentary on the third line from the top, Tziri Mamish. That's Tziri or Tziri Mamish. Cholin, really sick, meaning they're sick pathologically. Well, Mikru Tziri, Lefisha Nafsham Tzora, Mach Maschom. They're called Tziri because they are of, let's say, a tense spirit because of their ailment. The Gemara continues, Umuter Ba'ava. The Mishnah mentioned that one who was Noder Min Hamavushal is restricted from, he cannot partake of of loose dishes, dishes, soup-like dishes, gravy dishes, but he's allowed to partake of thick ones. We should point out, in anticipation of the Gemara, that he who had vowed not to partake of Mevushal is allowed to partake of a Tavshil Ovo because one does not eat bread with it. We saw earlier in the Gemara that if it's something that you would eat bread with, then it's called a tafshil. If it's something that you would not eat bread with, something that's like that's a tafshil ova, then it doesn't come under the restriction of the of that which tafshil implies. The Gemara. Masnisin delo kivat bavlo. Our Mishnah that said ova, you would not eat with bread. In other words, that was the implication of the Mishnah, as we saw later defined in the Gemara. Delo kibavloi is not consistent, or is not like the practice of the Babylonians. The Omar Rabbi Zera bavloi tipshoi dachli lachmo balachmo. Rav Zera says the foolish Babylonians, whose custom was to eat bread together with bread, which is another way of saying that they, the Babylonians, would, together with their porridge, they would eat bread. So our Mishnah that says you would not eat bread together with a thick dish, that's a practice that you won't find amongst the Babylonians. Omar Rav Chista. Now Rav Chista was from Bovel. Leka de mashil lahon laholin nakdone de hutzel hodein daisa hechin mali lemichla. Rav Chista says, is there no one that will ask the nakdone de hutzel? Nakdone are people that are very careful, they're diligent, they're precise. With regard to, in this context, with regard to their food eating, is there no one that's going to ask them, these, we'll call them these culinary experts, how is daisa best eaten? And what's the doubt, the quandary in which Rav Chista finds himself? Is it as follows? Dechiti, that means daisa, porridge that's made from wheat, belachmo dechiti, eat that along with wheat bread. Udesairi, a porridge made from barley, balachma desairi, with barley bread. Oidilmo, or maybe the better way is dechiti bedesairi, desairi bedechiti. A wheat porridge with barley bread, and a barley porridge with wheat bread. So this is what Rav Chista, who was from Bovel, was concerned with. Rava achle behasisi. Rava ate the porridge with hasisi. Rashi says, "Ochla b'chasisi, haymalafis pito b'chasisi forshlo m'sachos p'sochim, kimcha davishuno, kemach shaklois sorim shalavir shlish, umiyabshin oison b'tanur v'klufin hein." It's a reference to a certain kind of roasted grain that in our Gemara, Rava would eat along with his bread. These roasted grains. Rabo baravuna ashkechei leravuna dekaochil daisabetz bose. Rabo found Ravuna eating porridge with his fingers. In other words, no fork, no spoon, directly with his fingers. Omar le amai kochil mor biyode. So Rabo Bravuna asked, Bravuna, why are you eating with your hands? Omale hochi omar Rav. Thusly says Rav, Daisa betz bosa bosim. V'kol shikain betartin. V'kol dekain betlas. And here again, we're going to translate the Gemara, but there is a suspicion that something much deeper is being alluded to over here. So, as we've mentioned many times in the past, the Gemara markings, Daf Yom Yishuv, do not delve into the, we'll say, the hidden mysteries lying behind the examples of the Gemara, but we do encourage people to look into these things further. So, Rav says that eating daisa with your finger is bosom, is tasty. And all the more so if you do it with two fingers, and even more than that with three fingers. Omar le Rav lechia brei. V'chein omar le Rav Huna le Rabo brei. So you have these two Amoroyim telling their sons. Mizamnin loch. There are two explanations that you'll find in the Rashi. The second explanation he has is that if you are invited to eat a meal, so lemechal daisa, if you're invited to eat daisa ad parsa, then it's worth going seeking out such a meal, walking a parsa, but not more. Parsa is a distance. It's made of four meal. A meal is 2,000 amas, roughly a kilometer, so a parsa would be 4 kilometers. If you are invited lemechal bisra de tura, if you're invited to eat ox meat, at losa parsa, it's worth walking up till 3 parsa. It's 12 meal, it's like 12 kilometers. Omar le rav lechia brei, v'chein omar le rav huna l'rabo brei. Again, you see this the same names with these rabbonon telling their sons. Kol meidam lo tiflot kamei raboch. Meida means anything. In this context, do not spit out anything. Kol meidam lo tiflot. Lo tiflot is do not spit out in front of your rabbi. Don't spit anything. Labar min korav adaisa. Except for after consuming kora, that type of vegetation that we alluded to before, and daisa, the porridge, shehein doimin lepsilto shel avor. It's very hard to digest them, these things, just like a piece of molten lead. Vafilu kami shover malkaplod, and even if you're in front of the Persian monarch, shavur malk shavur, king shafur, spit it out. You can see in the Rashi, Kol meidam lo tiflu kami rabach lo toruk rok b'fnei rab. Don't spit out spittle in front of your rab. Kedomer maseches irvin harok l'fnei rabu chayav misa. One who does spit in front of his rabbi is worthy of death. Shenema v'chomsane avu mavas. Avlimo chalta dlas v'daisa v'zamach lo roik v'ficha. If you ate these foods, dlas, or a type of vegetation, or daisa, or this porridge, and after that some saliva or spittle accumulated in your mouth, plot b'fnei raboch, uzrokus l'chut sheish bo sakonis nefoshes. It's injurious. This accumulated saliva after eating these dishes is dangerous. Shein koshin l'guf shel adam kipsila shel avor. There as they can inflict injury on a person's body, just like a string of molten lead. The Gemara continues. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, chad ochil daisa betz bose v'chad ochil behutza. One of these two rabbis ate daisa, like we saw above, with his fingers, and the other used what we'll call a makeshift fork. Hutza is a piece of bark that after peeled off a tree and fashioned in a specific way, it can be used as an eating implement. The one who ate using the implement said to the one who ate with his fingers, until when are you going to feed me your tsoa? Tsoa is a reference to the debris that accumulates under one's fingernails. People will say, why don't you clean your fingernails? So he who doesn't do that, tsoa accumulates there, and when you take your fingers and dip it into the bowl containing the daisa, so some of that finger, we'll call finger debris, is left in the bowl. Next person takes his portion. He's going to end up eating some of that debris. So he was asking here, how until when are you going to feed me your soah? The one who ate with his fingers said to the one who used the hutzah device, called makeshift spoon device, he says, I object. Until when are you going to be feeding me your saliva? Because as opposed to when you eat with your fingers, you know, where you consume the food on your fingers and you wipe your fingers clean. But if you're using a spoon, after you dip eat from the spoon, some of your saliva accumulates on the spoon, and people don't clean off the spoon before they dip it into the bowl a second time. So, hence the finger eater's objection to the one who ate using the hutzah, charging him with feeding me your saliva. We have a new marking, a diamond appears on the side under the Mivneh heading, Havlotis Rabbi Yehuda. We'll be highlighting Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon, Aisu, Lekamaihu, Blusfine, these two rabbis, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon, there was brought in front of them, in other words, they were served with Blusfine. Rashi explains Blusfine as Te'enim, figs, Shinizbashios, overripe figs. Rabbi Yehuda ate from it, and Rabbi Shimon did not. Omar Le Rabbi Yehuda, my time aloha mar, why are you, sir, not eating? Omar Le Rabbi Shimon, elu en yitzim ibn mayim kolikur. These things, the blusfine, they never leave your digestive system. Omar Le Rabbi Yehuda, kol shekein shenis mochalei lamochar, all the more so good reason for eating these things, because as long as food stays within your mayim, within your innards, you have no appetite to eat more. So it's a very financially and health-wise beneficial to eat something like that. That's not yotzim b'nei ma'ayin. Rabbi Yehuda, Havi Yosef Kamed Rabbi Tarfon. Rabbi Yehuda was seated in the presence of Rabbi Tarfon, Omalei Rabbi Tarfon, Hayom Ponecha Nitzuv, and Rabbi Tarfon says, Rabbi Yehuda, you know, your face today is all aglow. Omalei, Emesh Yotsu Avodecha Lasadev, Eviu Lanu Traden, Velchanu Below Melach. So Rabbi Yehuda says, you know, last night your servants went to the field and brought to us Traden, a type of vegetation, and we ate the Traden without salt. Vimachanu B'melach, had we eaten them with salt, Kol Shekein Sheponenu Tzehuvim, then all the more so would our faces be radiant. Omro Hahu Matronisa. It was a Matronisa, like the name sounds, a matron. She's a woman of high rank in the Roman society. So it was a Matronisa that said to the Rebbe Yehuda, Mora Veravi, how can it be? You're a legal scholar. Mora is someone who teaches, who rules, offers legal rulings in law. Ravi means intoxicated. They're almost contradictory expressions. How can you be someone who is a legal decisor and a drunkard at the same time? Now, these people who were drunk, would have a certain change in skin pigmentation, giving this appearance of radiance. So she asks him, how can that be? Omar Lo. So Rabbi Yehuda says to the Matronisa, Hemnusa. Hemnusa is an expression like a vow. I swear. Hemnusa biyodo dahi itza. This is an expression. We say my trustworthiness is in your hands. Again, it's an expression indicating a vow. He swears itaimna. As far as wine is concerned, that intoxicates, by your life, if I drink any wine other than Kiddush Friday night and Havdalah Saturday night, when we make the Havdalah ceremony, and Vabo Kosi the Pischa, and the four cups on Pesach on Seder night, V'chogranit sidayim in Pesach Haratzeres. And after drinking the four cups of Pesach, they have such an effect on me that my temples, I have to bind my temples from Pesach until Atzeres, until Shavuos, because of the headache that I experience from the four cups. So what is Rabbi Yehuda saying in so many words? That I am not suspect of drinking wine in the middle of the week, and hence you can't associate my radiance with intoxication. Ella, as far as my radiance is concerned, Chochmas Odom, Toyerpon, of the wisdom of a man, enlightens his visage. Omar Le, Hahut Seduki, the Rebbe Yehuda. Ponecha Doimin, we should have pointed out earlier, but the double underline that you see is highlighting a certain theme that you see throughout these sections of Gemara. And on the side under the Mivne heading, we indicate Maisim Akshurim Lemara Ponev Shabuda Karnos. Different stories that are associated with the radiance of Rebbe Yehuda. So here is a third story. A tzeduki. A tzeduki is a non-believer, a scoffer. He says to Rabbi Yehuda, Ponecha doimen, ikemavli ribis, ikemagadli chazirin. You look like someone who loans for interest, that's a loan shark, or someone who raises swine. Both of these questionable professions lead to great wealth, and a person of great wealth eats good foods, rich foods, and his complexion is one of uniqueness, a radiance. So the tzeduki, the scoffer, turns to Rabbi and says, hey Rabbi, you're a loan shark, or you're a swine raiser. Amar Lei, Rabbi says back to the tzeduki, Biudoi Travayu Asiron. As far as amongst the Jewish people, both occupations are forbidden. Jews are not allowed to raise swine. Jews are not allowed to extend loans to fellow Jews for interest. Now, as far as my complexion is concerned, my radiance, Eloesim Varbo Bo Beisakisis Li Min Beisa Ad Be Midrasha. There are 24 bathrooms between my house and the study hall, the Beis Medrash. V'chol Shah V'shah Ani Nichnas l'chol echad ve'echad, and here we'll just translate. And he says, and every hour I go into each one of them. Does it mean that in every hour he went into 24 bathrooms, or the 24 bathrooms represent 24 hours, and each hour he went into one? That's something that one would have to look into a little further. But the point is that by always making sure that your body is waste-free, as is suggested by this analogy, that will result in improved complexion. Rabbi Yehuda kad ozu lebein midrasha. Rabbi Yehuda, when he would go to the Beis Medrash, shokil gufo al kasfe, he would carry on his shoulder, kasfe is his shoulder, a gufo. A gufo is a type of kankan, a receptacle like a barrel, and he would carry this kankan, this receptacle, from his house to the Beis Medrash. And what was his purpose in carrying this gufa? He would invert it and sit on it, use it as a chair. Omar, Rabbi Yehuda then announced or exclaimed, "Gedolah melacha shemechabedes es ba'aleha." Praiseworthy is the melachas, your efforts, your work, but it's your efforts that end up bestowing upon you honor. So what kind of efforts bestow upon you honor? Instead of having to sit on the ground, by carrying the gufa to the Beis Medrash, he was thereby, in effect, honoring, bringing honor upon himself, that he wouldn't be left sitting on the floor. Rabbi Shimon shokil tzona al kasve. Rabbi Shimon carried a tzona. Tzona is a receptacle, just like we had the word above this was gufa. So he carried a tzona on his shoulder to the Beis Medrash. Amar gedolah melacha shemechabed, it says baileha. Praiseworthy and great is the type of his work that bestows honor to the owner. Devisu de Rabbi Yehuda Nafkis Naktis Amra. The wife of Rabbi Yehuda, she went out and took with her some wool. Avda Glima de Hutvi. And she made an article of clothing called Glima de Hutvi. Say a good kind of, let's say, coat. Kad Nafkis Lishuka Mechasya Bay. When she would go to the market, she would cover herself with this clothing item that she made from the wool. And Kad Nafik Rebbe Yehuda Litzliye, and when he, Rebbe Yehuda, would go out to pray, Have Michsi Umatzli, he would cloak himself with this Glima de Hutvi, and Matzli and Davin. The Kad Michsi Bey, Have Mevorach Boruch She'otani Me'il. And when he would encloak himself in this, he would say this benediction. Baruch, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, She'otani Me'il, that wraps me in a coat. Zimno Chada, Gozer Reb Shimon ben Gamliel Tanisa. On one occasion, Reb Shimon Gamliel was the Nasi of his generation, the leader of the generation. He ruled that the public shall observe a fast. And when a public fasting is established, is declared by the rabbis, it involves much more than just mere fasting. There's community assembly for introspection. There are prayers that are recited. There's a Torah reading. So Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel had ruled that they shall observe a public fast. Most often you find that in the context of a period of drought or some other public affliction or oppression, and you want the divine intervention. So in order to arouse the Almighty in your defense, so fasting is a well-known practice. Rabbi Yehuda lo osa lebei tanisa. Rabbi Yehuda did not join together with the communal assembly on that fast day. Amrin lei, and they said to him, lo is. They said to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who had declared the fast, lo is le kisuya. He can't come. He doesn't have anything to wear. He has nothing to cover himself with. Shodale glima v'lo kabil. They sent to Rabbi Yehuda a glima, a type of a cloak or outer garment, and he did not accept it. And we turn to the top of Daf Nun Amud Aleph. If it wasn't clear till now, Rabbi Yehuda was extremely impoverished. Very likely, it's Rabbi Yehuda Bar Baloi, who's featured in a drush in Maseches Sanhedrin Daf Chof, and there, as over here, Rabbi Yehuda there was one article of clothing that he had to share with his wife. That's what we saw in the Gemara. He was a very poor individual, and when the Rabbi Yehuda didn't show up at the Beit Tanisa, the other rabbis said, you know, he doesn't have anything to wear, which is simply a reflection of his poverty. And they sent him this overcoat, and he didn't accept it. Doli Tzifsa, Rabbi Yehuda raised a mat, picked up a mat that he was sitting on, and he told the agent from the Rabbanon that brought the coat to him, Chozi Mai Ika, do you see under this mat? And here a miracle took place, and the area got filled with gold coins. So if you think that I'm impoverished because I don't have any access to money, look at all the gold over here. Miu lo nicholi deshani behodein alma. However, I don't want to benefit. I don't want to experience enjoyment, physical, classic enjoyment, while in this world. And hence, my impoverished state is something that I prefer to be in And as you can see, as far as access to money and riches, I have no problem with that. No problem accessing it, but I don't want to benefit from it. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.